Theocatra podcast conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Theocatra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something I think we could all use a bit more of. Resilience.
Definitely.
We're diving into William B. Irvine's book, The Stoic Challenge. The promise here is pretty bold, actually becoming tougher, calmer, more resilient.
Yeah, and it feels incredibly relevant right now, doesn't it?
I mean,
we're just bombarded with stuff. Constantly news, uncertainty, little frustrations, big setbacks. It feels like things are always, you know, going slightly wrong.
Or majorly wrong sometimes.
Or majorly wrong, exactly. And what Irvine offers isn't just like grin and bear it. He's giving us a practical toolkit rooted in ancient Stoicism, but really updated for today. It's about building. Well, they talk about psychological armor.
Psychological armor. I like that.
Yeah, to keep your cool, basically, when life throws curveballs, which it always does.
Okay, psychological armor. Before we try it on, maybe tell us a bit about the blacksmith. Who is William B. Irvine?
Right. So Irvine, he's a serious philosopher, professor emeritus at Wright State University, PhD, knows his stuff, especially ancient philosophy, like Stoicism.
Okay.
He actually wrote another really popular book you might have heard of, A Guide to the Good Life.
Ah, right. So what makes his take on Stoicism different? Because let's be honest, Stoicism is kind of having a moment. Is he just, you know, repackaging old ideas?
That's a fair question. But no, I don't think so. What's cool about Irvine is that he's not just an academic buried in old texts. He actually lives this stuff. He tests these ancient principles out in his own life.
Okay, so he's like a practical philosopher.
Exactly. He sees what works, what maybe needs tweaking for, you know, the 21st century. And he blends it with insights from modern psychology, especially cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT.
Ah, okay. So grounding the ancient wisdom in, like, modern science.
Precisely. He's refining it, not just repeating it.
Got it. Okay, let's get to the core problem he's trying to solve, because this is where it really grabbed me. Irvine basically says, look, the flat tire, the critical email, the Wi-Fi cutting out, those aren't the real source of our misery.
Right. It feels like they are, but...
But he argues our reaction, like the anger, the anxiety, the feeling like, why me? Mm-hmm. That's the main source of the suffering. It's kind of self-inflicted.
It's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, but yeah. We suffer more because of how we interpret the event than the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
And his solution is kind of a 1-2 punch.
Okay.
First, he gives us a better way to understand what we can actually control. He calls it the trichotomy of control.
Trichotomy. Okay, not dichotomy.
Exactly. Three parts, not two. Mm-hmm. Get into that. And second, he gives us this really powerful mental technique, the Stoic test hypothesis.
A psychological weapon, you called it earlier.
Yeah, basically. So the whole point isn't just to, like, survive bad stuff. It's to use it, to transform yourself from feeling like a victim into what he calls a spiritual athlete.
The spiritual athlete. Okay. All right. Training for life's challenges.
Yeah, you're actively using the difficulties to get stronger mentally and emotionally.
All right, let's start with that map then, the trichotomy of control. You said it's different from the usual Stoic idea, the dichotomy, things you control versus things you don't.
Right. The old dichotomy is simple. Control it or don't. But Irvine says, and that's a bit too simple, it's incomplete.
How so?
Because if you think it's only those two options, you either waste energy trying to control things you absolutely can't, like the weather.
Guilty.
Huh. Yeah. Or you just give up too easily on things where you do have some influence. He argues most of life isn't black or white, control or no control. It's gray. It happens in this murky middle ground.
Okay, so break down the three categories for us.
Sure. First category, complete control. This is actually a pretty small bucket. It's basically your inner world.
Like my thoughts, my choices.
Exactly. Your values, your judgments about things, your intentions. Whether you choose to act with kindness, for instance, that's fully up to you.
Okay, that makes sense. Small but important.
Very. Then, category two, no control. This is the classic stuff. The weather, like we said. What happened yesterday? What other people ultimately decide to do? Like, if your boss decides to restructure the team. The stock market.
Right. Things totally outside my influence.
Totally. Trying to directly control these is just banging your head against a wall.
Okay. And the third one. The murky middle ground.
This is the big one. Some, but not complete control. And this is where most of our goals and concerns actually live. Think about your health.
Okay.
You can eat well, exercise, see a doctor. You have influence.
Why?
But you can't guarantee you'll never get sick. Same with your career. You can work hard, network, learn new skills.
But you don't control the job market or if your company downsizes.
Exactly. Or relationships.
Yeah.
You control how you behave, how you communicate, but you don't completely control how the other person feels or reacts, or whether the relationship lasts.
Huh. So recognizing that some control category is key.
It's crucial because it stops you from doing two things.
Yeah.
Wasting energy, trying to force an outcome you can't guarantee, and giving up on exerting the influence you do have. You focus your effort where it actually counts.
Okay, I see the map. Now, what about that psychological weapon, the Stoic challenge thing?
Right, the Stoic test hypothesis. This is the mental reframing part.
Yeah.
Irvine says, instead of seeing a setback like, say, your flight getting canceled as just a purely negative thing, a disaster.
Which is my default reaction, usually.
Mine too.
Yeah.
He suggests we consciously choose to view it differently. Imagine that the universe, or, you know, he sometimes says the Stoic gods, metaphorically.
Okay.
Imagine they've set up this specific situation for you as a kind of personalized test.
A test? A test of what?
A test of your character. Is this delayed flight testing my patience? Is this unfair criticism testing my ability to remain calm and respond constructively? Is this sudden illness testing my courage?
Hmm. That framing, Stoic gods testing me, might feel a bit mystical or maybe off-putting for some people. Does it have to be about gods?
Not at all. Irvine is clear it's a cognitive tool, a psychological device. You don't need any metaphysics. Think about the historical Stoics he mentions. Seneca facing exile, Epictetus being a slave. They use this kind of mindset to maintain their integrity under immense pressure.
Okay.
And Irvine connects it directly to modern cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, which is totally secular, science-based.
How does that connection work? CBT is about changing thought patterns, right?
Exactly. Remember the core idea from Epictetus. It's not events that disturb people, but their judgments about them. When something bad happens, our automatic thought is often negative, distorted. This is awful. I can't handle this. I'm a failure.
Yeah, the downward spiral.
Right. The Stoic test reframe, just consciously saying to yourself, okay, this is a test of my patience, courage, humility. It interrupts that automatic negative judgment. It forces your brain to switch tracks, to look for a constructive, virtuous response instead of just reacting with panic or anger.
Ah, so it changes the internal narrative immediately.
Instantly. And this leads to what Irvine calls the goal shift. This is critical.
Okay.
You shift your goal from something external and often uncontrollable, like, my goal is for this presentation to be a massive success and impress everyone, to something internal and controllable.
Like what?
Like, my goal is to deliver this presentation with clarity, honesty, and courage, regardless of how people react. Or, my goal is to handle this difficult conversation with patience and integrity, even if the other person gets upset.
So the focus shifts from the outcome to my conduct.
Precisely. And the beauty is that internal goal, acting virtuously, is always within your complete control. You can always choose to be patient or courageous or honest. Even if the presentation bombs, even if the conversation goes badly, you can still succeed at your internal goal.
That actually feels incredibly empowering. You can win even when things go wrong externally.
That's the promise. It gives you a stable sense of self-worth that isn't dependent on luck or external validation.
Okay, let's boil this down. If someone listening is trying to remember the core messages, what are the big takeaways?
Right. I think the first huge one is resilience is a skill, not a trait.
Meaning it's something you build, not something you're just born with or without.
Exactly, like a muscle.
Yeah.
And you build it by practicing on the small stuff, the micro challenges Irvine talks about.
Yeah.
Like the annoying automated phone menu, the slow internet, spilling your coffee. You use those little frustrations as training reps. You practice the reframe, okay, test of patience, so that when the big things hit, the macro crises like job loss or illness, you've already built up that mental muscle.
Makes sense. Practice on the small weights before lifting the heavy ones. What's next?
Second big one. The transformative power of perspective.
Yeah.
This is huge. How you frame an event fundamentally changes how you experience it emotionally.
So shifting from this is a disaster happening to me to this is a test designed for me.
Yes. That shift in perspective is, in a way, the ultimate form of control we have.
Yeah.
It dictates our inner peace or lack thereof.
Okay. And the third key theme.
The superiority of internal goals. Focusing on your character, aiming for discipline, kindness, courage, wisdom, gives you a source of self-worth that no one and nothing can take away because it's entirely within your control.
Whereas external goals like getting that promotion or having everyone like you or achieving perfect health are always vulnerable. hostages to fortune, as he says.
Exactly. They create anxiety because they depend on things outside our complete control. Internal goals focused on virtue lead to tranquility.
That internal focus really changes the game.
It really does.
You know, one thing about Irvine is he has these lines that just stick with you. They really cut through the noise. Should we share a few key ideas phrased as quotes?
Yeah, definitely. They're very memorable.
Okay, first one, kind of defining the problem we discussed. The dichotomy of control is not wrong. It's incomplete. Most of life happens in the murky middle ground between what we can completely control and what we cannot control at all.
I like that one because it acknowledges the nuance. It validates that feeling we have that things aren't just simple on-off switches. Life is murky.
Right. Okay, second, this one really captures the core idea of the book. A setback is not just something that happens to you. It's something that can happen for you if you approach it with the right mindset.
That's the whole transformation piece right there. Seeing adversity as opportunity.
Yeah. And third, this one highlights the practical benefit of his framework. When we properly categorize our challenges, we stop fighting the wrong battles and start winning the ones that matter.
Mm-hmm. It's about directing your energy effectively. Stop wasting it on the uncontrollable. Focus on the controllable, especially your internal response.
So smart. Okay, let's get practical.
Yeah.
How does someone actually use this day to day? Irvine offers that simple algorithm, right?
Yeah, it's like a little mental checklist. Pause, reframe as a test is playing, set an internal goal response.
Okay, let's try it. Say, at work, you pour your heart into a project and your boss just rips it apart in a meeting. Ouch.
Okay. Default reaction. Probably anger, defensiveness, maybe shame. So step one, pause. Just take a breath before reacting. Don't lash out. Step two, reframe. Instead of this is an attack, try, okay, this is a test of my humility, my professionalism, my ability to take feedback.
Okay, hard, but okay.
Step three, set an internal goal. Not I need to convince my boss they're wrong, but I will listen carefully, ask clarifying questions calmly, and focus on understanding the feedback without getting defensive.
Right, focusing on my conduct.
Exactly. And then step four, respond based on that internal goal. Focus your energy on improving the work controllable, not arguing about the boss's opinion, largely uncontrollable.
Okay, that makes sense. What about, say, a relationship conflict, a fight with a family member?
Same process. Pause before you say something you regret. Reframe. This isn't about winning. It's a test of my patience, my empathy, my ability to communicate clearly even when upset.
Internal goal.
I will express my feelings honestly but kindly. I will listen to their perspective, then respond based on that. You accept you can't make them agree or calm down, but you can control your own words and actions.
It really brings the focus back to what you can do in any situation.
That's the power of it.
You know, thinking about this whole approach, what kind of surprised me or what felt most valuable was this idea that maybe setbacks aren't just annoying interruptions to life. Maybe they're actually necessary.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Irvine makes that point really well. Like lifting weights, the resistance is what builds the muscle. Without challenges, without things pushing back against us, we don't develop psychological strength. We don't grow.
So we shouldn't necessarily wish for a life with zero problem.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We should wish for the strength and wisdom to handle the problems that inevitably arise. And that's what this book aims to provide. For me, the biggest takeaway is really about that accurate assessment of influence, knowing where your control begins and ends.
The trichotomy.
Yeah. That framework plus the reframing technique gives you a way to navigate almost anything with more wisdom and, importantly, more resilience. It's not about being emotionless. It's about responding wisely.
So a final thought for everyone listening. As you go through the rest of your day, maybe start looking for those little things, the minor irritations.
The micro challenges.
Right. The long queue, the website glitch, the person driving slowly in front of you. What if you saw that as your first stoic test of the day? How could you respond differently, aiming for that internal goal, that small win of character?
It's a powerful question to carry with you. What test are you facing right now, and how will you choose to meet it?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world.
This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.